matter which one. We're good. We're good. Thank you, Willie. Okay, we're on. A little up. That's good, Sandra. A little more light. That's great. Well, we're continuing on. We had a wonderful, wonderful service yesterday. Quite a packed house. Last Monday night was packed, and tonight we have family, little family time at the kitchen table here. God is good. He is faithful. And we're continuing tonight on healing, the topic of healing, but we're talking about healing of our emotionals, our emotions. All healing is not physical. Sometimes we need healing of our mind. We need healing of our emotions. Relationships need healing. So many things. And tonight in particular is emotions. And one of the things I want to begin with is a little bit of review, but to say that we should never be controlled by our emotions or our past memories. And to begin with, I'm going to share with you about a friend that I knew from high school. I knew this young lady in high school as I was growing up, and she was very, very broken because so many people put her down, made fun of her, made fun of her family and different issues. But here's the problem with that. She has lived a life controlled by the pain of these past emotions. And to this day, she can tell you everyone who hurt her, what they said exactly, and she lives in that. And that is no way to live, because that's really living in captivity and bondage, right where the enemy wants you to be. But we can be set free, and I believe that God will heal our emotions. In fact, I know that He will heal our emotions. I said last week that God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is a triune being, and we are also triune beings, meaning that we have a spirit, a soul, and a body. Does the Bible not say we're created in the image of God? So we're triune beings. And the spirit is the heart of man, the soul is the mind and emotions of man, and the body is the physical outward man. We have emotions, and emotions are like finances, or they're like our time or our talents. They must be stewarded correctly. You can give your talent, as Tony Piscina has mentioned many times, you can give that to the enemy. That's not a good steward of a talent that God's given you. Or you can use it, as he does, unto the Lord, and that's what we're supposed to do. The same thing with our emotions. We can use our emotions, anger or crying, to manipulate somebody and get them to, you know, do our will and not the will of the Lord. That's using our emotions in an incorrect, sinful way. And it's actually witchcraft when you try to manipulate people. But we can also surrender our emotions. Now, when I say surrender our emotions, people say, you got to get control and manage your emotions. Well, most of us are not that good at managing our emotions. So we need to surrender our emotions to the cross. And when I say the cross, I look over here just because there's a cross over here. And you can picture yourself, and you should do this spiritually, as any anger that's ungodly, it needs to be laid at the cross, surrendered to the cross. Not try to manage it, surrender it to the cross. The same thing with fear. If you have an overwhelming spirit of fear that's coming upon you, you can lay that at the cross and claim the word of God. Perfect love cast out all fear. So we need to talk about that. But so many of us have been wounded emotionally in ways that there sometimes is any unhealed part of us, any wound, whether it is a physical wound or an emotional wound, that wound is a weak spot. And the problem with that is because 1 Peter says, be alert and be sober, because the enemy is seeking whomever he can devour, and he's going to look for the weakest link, isn't he? He's going to look for the prey, the one that's wounded, the one that's broken, laying on the ground, and is not strong in an emotional way or a physical way. So we need to do that, surrender them. And I mentioned last week, and want to continue with this and tell you a little bit about this. If someone that you know that's in your world, and you will, because we live in a very unhealed, unhealthy world, and so much is going on, and people are so quick to hurt other people, it almost brings some people joy to hurt other people. And so when someone is suffering from an emotional or mental illness, please have the compassion of Christ. Don't blame the victim. Don't try to figure it out. Don't look down on someone who's hurting for really any reason. If you can't be proud of this solution, please leave it alone. Because the reality is no one wants to be physically sick and no one wants to be emotionally sick. I will tell you a personal story that Pastor Ken knows only too well. We lived this. As children, we attended a church that's known today as the Bridgeview Church of God on 71st Street near Roberts Road. When I was a child, that's where we grew up. Our dad actually physically helped build that church. He was on the board there. He helped build that church. And our pastor was an amazing man. His name was Pastor Richard Stope. He was an amazing man of God. And he came upon a church situation where a group of people so came against him, I mean mercilessly, attacked him, dishonored him, disrespected him. My dad was completely aware of that. And at some point during this, our pastor had a nervous breakdown, an emotional breakdown. Now, I would normally, as a child, Pastor Ken and I would not be privy to such information, but the situation was, because we weren't involved in church business, but my dad was such a compassionate man, he always has been, for the hurting and the broken. He loved our pastor, he respected our pastor, and this man, our pastor, would come to our home kind of as a place of refuge to visit our dad and our parents. And my brother and my siblings and I, we can clearly remember our mom and our dad telling us, when Pastor Stope comes, he's going to be crying. That just broke my heart. And I, of course, started asking, why is he going to be crying? And my mom told us, he's had a nervous breakdown. Some people hurt him really bad and said he's broken. And he told Pastor Ken and all of us, we can't slam a screen door. We can't talk loud. We have to be very, very quiet. And sure enough, even little cabinets or doors or things would cause him to just break down. And I wish it was me now that could talk to him and minister and help, but I was a child. My dad did such good work with him, but it's a vivid memory that just breaks my heart. But it's a good one in saying that my dad was not part of the problem. He was helping and showing the compassion of Christ to me and to my siblings. And I keep going over those two sayings that ring home. If you can't say anything nice, don't say it at all. Just shut up, be quiet. If you see someone hurting and you can't help, just please at least don't hurt them. If you can't help them, just don't hurt them. Don't put more nails in them. So God gave us our emotions to use for his glory. We talked last week that Jesus wept. I want to take that a little bit further. He actually experienced great sorrow, so much so that the Bible calls Jesus a man of sorrows. I'm going to read to you Isaiah 53:3. Here's what it says. He was despised. Can you picture your Jesus that died on the cross for you, that was nothing but love, being hated and despised? And it goes on and says, and he was rejected by men. He was complete. If you've ever been rejected, you know what rejected feels like. You're not welcome. You're excluded. I reject you. I don't pick you. I don't choose you. Rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. There again, he experienced the emotion of grief. Have you ever grieved over the loss of someone or something, a person, a pet? Jesus experienced grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. He was despised, hated, and we esteemed him not. We didn't understand it. We didn't care about it. Who was acquainted with grief? Jesus. But it gives me great comfort that Jesus experienced these emotions, so he knows what I experience, what you experience when you're going through something, and we all will. And he experienced anger. You know, remember him going into the temple and experience anger, but it wasn't an ungodly anger. It wasn't a wicked anger. It was a holy anger, a righteous anger at wrong committed
against the house of God. Another thing, grief. The Holy Spirit himself can be grieved. The Bible tells us, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Don't quench him. Don't stop him. Don't shut him down. And don't grieve him. You can make the Holy Spirit sad. And that's something we don't think a lot about, but it's true. God has the emotion of hate. God hates sin. We went over last week how there is a list of seven things that God hates, but the one that hits the hardest and the most is the one that says sowing discord among the brethren. Those who deliberately try to divide the body, the bride of Christ, God hates that. He absolutely hates that. It's a pretty conclusive list, and it's well worth looking into. But I think that Ecclesiastes has something so interesting that I just barely touched on last week, and that was it is that our emotions are so to be so stewarded to God, they're to be used at the right time. There's a time to use your emotions. There's a season for everything, it says in Ecclesiastes. Time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to harvest, time to kill, time to heal, time to break down, time to build up. But it talks about a time to weep. There's a time to weep, and there's a time to laugh. That means there's a time when you should not laugh. And the Bible bears that out. We talked about that last week because the Bible says, do not rejoice. It says, rejoice always, in everything rejoice. And then it says, rejoice not when someone falls. So there's a time and a place for us to use our emotions in the right way. One example can be, we don't have a dance at a funeral and everybody rejoice. Now, maybe we should sometimes, but that is not considered an appropriate emotion. Why? Because that would insult the family who is grieving because it's their time to mourn, right? I've heard people say, well, when we have a funeral, we should just have a big celebration. We should just all dance around. Glory to God, they went to heaven. Well, let's talk to the family about that because the Bible says there's a time to mourn, and this is their time to mourn. And then the Bible says, weep with those who weep, and rejoice with those who rejoice. And since they're not rejoicing, you know, that their husband, wife, family member, child has went home, since they're mourning, we need to do what? Mourn with them. Join them. Show our sorrow as a sign of respect. You know, I've heard things, and you know, it seems like in theory, you know, you could make a case for that, you know, and Tony will always remember when Dad sang the song at the funeral. He meant to sing. He kept telling Tony and I. Tony was there, and for some reason I was there, and he kept telling us to sing, "This is the day the Lord has made." It was a very upbeat song. "This is the day, this is the day," and people danced to it at this guy, this woman, Sister Helen Wishney's funeral. So Tony complied. Of course, we sang the song. As soon as it was over, Dad whispered to me, "I meant what a day that will be, not this is the day." I'm like, hello, you know. But we had the family rejoicing. Even the funeral director looked in the hallway and kind of was like, these people. But that's really not what to do when someone's hurting, you know what I'm saying. We need to use our emotions appropriately. Romans 12:15 says it, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. God makes his will plain to us. His word is our instruction manual for life and concerning everything. Bible even tells us what to think on. You know, well, I'll think what I want to think. No, you won't. Not if you serve God. You'll think on whatever is good and holy and righteous and lovely and pure and beautiful. You will not think on what you want. You will not use your emotions just randomly. You know, I've seen people, and let me tell you something. I'll give you one more quick little story about my dad. My dad, and you may have remembered, I think I told this once before when teaching. Maybe it was when I was teaching at my house. My dad had a guy on the railroad. You know, he was superintendent of the railroad, and he had a man who wanted to get disability, and he wanted to do it by proving that he was mentally incompetent, and so he would just get that regular check or whatever it was. I don't know if it was check, pension, whatever you want to call it, and so this man started trying to fool people on the railroad. My dad knew full well what he was doing, but the guy was trying to present a case that he was crazy. Would anybody care to guess maybe what happened to him? He went crazy. He wound up in a psychiatric ward. Basically, then he got the money and it went to the hospital. Come on now. You know, he was abusing emotions that God gave him and it backfired on him. And that happens a lot of times too. We need to understand that, you know, we need to honor God with every gift he's given us, including our emotions. And I want to say that for anyone who's experienced past trauma or is going through something and is hurting or feels broken, I want to say that God can and will heal you. He will heal your emotions. And he cares very much about your emotional well-being, so much so that he has bottled our tears. If you're crying because you've like, I thought of that when I was telling the story about our pastor, Brother Richard Stope. We used to call, in those days, you didn't call him pastor, you called him brother. We called him Brother Stope. And I keep thinking about how his tears are bottled, how God took those tears. He should have never had to cry those tears. It bothered me even as a child that people would hurt our pastor, would come against them. I understand a little better now. I'm in a different seat now. But and it does hurt. But he was hurt like you can't even believe hurt. And so we need to surround those. We need to pray for those people that are hurting for whatever reason and to weep with them if necessary, if that's what it takes. And something I want to say about emotions is vain imaginations. I want to talk about that for a few minutes. The enemy, and I believe this because I shared this also before about Paul, that the Bible says that he was buffeted by a messenger of Satan. And you know my thoughts on that, that I believe that what the message was about his past. It just makes sense. And I want to say something. The enemy will use the same thing on you and I. He will use past painful memories and try to get you to meditate on them instead of the goodness of God. Even though you're not going through that same situation right now, he will bring it up to you to see how you're going to handle that. What you need to do is say, that is in the past. I am healed, but I have taken that to the cross. And that is now, if you bring it up to me, it becomes a vain imagination, something that will again provoke me to feel those same Do you know that the enemy, if you allow him that foothold to enter your mind and cause you to, and again, we choose what we think on, right? Well, you don't have to meditate on that. You don't have to think about, now what was that abuse again? What was that situation? Because the enemy then has the ability to cause you to feel that same kind of pain all over again as if it just happened. You don't want to allow that. You do not want to give him that foothold because it will happen just like it did with my friend where it will come back to you and you won't be able to shake it. Let me read to you 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Casting down. You want to know what to do with imaginations and things? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge, which is the truth of God. If it's not the truth, cast it down. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Let me tell you, we cannot let our emotions control us. We have to control them with the help of Almighty God and the Holy Spirit. Surrender them to God. Ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Otherwise, if we're not willing to let God heal our emotions, we're going to bleed on people who didn't even cut us, right? It's an understatement. Your unhealed self will affect other people. You won't have healthy relationships if your emotions are sick and are not healed. If you're not willing to let God heal your emotions, let me tell you something else, the damage it will do. You're going to pass on your damaged emotions pretty much as an inheritance to the next generation. If you're a perpetual train wreck, you're going to give that to your children. Just as much as alcoholism or anything else, if it's not taken care of. In other words, if you won't fight the giant, your children and your grandchildren, somebody has to take the giant down. Somebody has to fight it and break that generational curse, even if it's an emotional thing. He's going to come for your children. And that's the saddest part of all. You don't want your children to have your same insecurities, do you? It's a great example is fear. I can remember many years ago when, you know, you look back and you think how you could have handled situations differently when the guy tried to break in our house and I had tried to wake up Dave. I shook him and he didn't move, of course. And the guy started ripping the door. And then I grabbed him by the T-shirt and Dave's out of the bed and he's up at the door and he's shoving the guy, pushing the guy out of the door. And I am just screaming and just, oh, my God, oh, my God. And my kids are, one of them's here tonight, pretty hysterical, too. And I'm like, get in the bed, get in the back room, get locked in the room, locked in the room. And they're locked in the room, and I'm on 911. It was awful. It was awful. It turned out okay. But we make things when our emotions are out of control. We are non-functional. I think I hung up on 911 like 3 times. And they would say, please don't hang up on us. I'm like, I got to go help my husband. Like, what's that all about? But you get out of control. We need to say, God, help us in every situation to be composed, to have wisdom. God, we just submit this. If we could just take a second and say, Lord, help me in this situation. I mean, you can be in a fire and literally burn to death because you're just so, you're paralyzed. Fear will paralyze you. That emotion of fear and so many things. Uncontrollable anger will cost you 20 to 50 years or life in the penitentiary. Century. But we need to have our emotions under control. And I want to make something clear. There is going to come trauma in our lives. We all have, I say, trauma and drama, and that you experienced that was not your fault. I mean, some things are our fault, but some things are not. And so often it's not. If you're emotionally hurt, it's because someone hurt you. If your heart, I said this in my book, The Wounded and the Wounder, if you have a broken heart, it's because someone took your heart or you gave it to them and they broke it. I'm not saying that it's your fault that you went through that trauma. I'm not saying I was abused at 4 years old by a stranger. It was not my fault. And we have to understand that. But that doesn't mean that we don't suffer hurt or emotional hurt from that situation. And still, we need to be responsible enough, especially as an adult, to seek healing from Jesus, to ask for healing. We're responsible to pursue our healing because Jesus provided for our healing at the whipping post and on the cross. And having said that, this is where we need to go tonight for just 1 minute or two. Often, the first step towards emotional healing is something we don't want to hear: forgiving. It's forgiving. Because if we're emotionally hurt or damaged in some way, chances are someone or a group has hurt us. And so one of the first steps toward our healing is to surrender our emotions to Jesus and to make a decision, because forgiveness is not a feeling. It is a choice. It is a decision. Our feelings will line up later. Forgiveness does not mean we agree that someone should have hurt us or that it was a good thing. It means we agree with the cross, not with what they did, with the cross. And people will tell me frequently in counseling, even the other day I heard this, you don't understand. It's so hard. It hurts so bad and it's so hard. And I said, I do understand, but I know someone who knows what's even harder. The cross was hard. So that's not a legitimate argument for not forgiving someone when Jesus forgave us. You know, there's going to come a time when you have to, even what I said yesterday about parents, you know, people will tell me about parents all the time. You don't understand. They don't deserve forgiveness. I read some things today, but I'm going to tell you, it will set you free. You only have to forgive people if you want to be free. If you want to be healed and you want to be free,
then you have to forgive. If you don't, if you want to stay like you are, unforgiveness is a poison. It's a poison. I want you to listen for just a minute to a man who'd been hurt. Genesis 50:20. As for you, speaking to the brothers, you meant evil against me and you intended to harm me, but God determined it for good, for my good, in order to bring us all, the brothers and Joseph, to this day and to save many people alive. That's Genesis 20. Let me tell you, Joseph was a type of Christ. He was rejected, forsaken, and not by strangers. And usually, by the way, that's how it is when we're emotionally hurt. Strangers can hurt you to a point. As I said, I was hurt by a stranger. But primarily, when we're hurt the most, it's not a stranger. It's not a stranger. It's usually someone that's close to us. It could be a family member. It happened to Joseph. But years later, he acted throughout his life, according to the word of God, he acted with integrity at all times, when he was in the pit, when he was falsely accused. And let me tell you the greatest test of Joseph's integrity. It was none of the pit, the other stuff, the falsely accused in the prison. His integrity was seen the greatest, in the greatest way, when he came to power and then had the ability to retaliate for something that happened to him all those years ago. Now, that's where his integrity is seen the most, and that's where the greatest healing will come from. And I can say it like this. If you forgive them, that's letting them go. You don't ever have to have a relationship with them. But if the opportunity should come where they come to you, I'm not saying you chase down your enemies or people that have hurt you and get bit by the same snake twice. I always say if you get bit by the same snake twice, it's not the snake that has the problem. So you don't chase them down for relationship. But if someone should come back to you like the prodigal son came home, okay, and like the brothers came to Joseph for help, you are now in a position to possibly help them and therefore re-enter a relationship. If you can do that, that is the greatest healing that you will ever have. And I've experienced that in my own life by person and persons who have hurt me, where it has come full circle, where I have had the opportunity to help them, to minister to them, and go back into relationship. And that's the greatest healing for them and for you. So we have to understand that. Step one is forgiveness. And if we can develop a relationship, if we can help them, the Bible says, and we're going to ask the praise team to come now for worship. We went a few minutes over. I try to keep it to 20 minutes. We come to the place where we have to realize that Jesus is our only help in this area. Because all of us have places of brokenness in our life, don't we? We just do. We just do. We all have to surrender our emotions. We all experience fear. There's times. Let me say it like this. Here, you get any of us in the right situation. You get a gunman in this room. Don't tell me there ain't going to be some fear going on. But here's the thing. You can have fear, but you don't want fear to have you. So you can't keep having fear. It will become a stronghold in your life. We all are going to experience emotion. In fact, a certain amount of fear is good. If you come to a cliff, that you won't be so fearless that you're just going to drive over the cliff. We're going to come upon those emotions, but it's how we handle and steward the emotions. And that fear, you don't want it to take root in your life. And then you're afraid of everything. You're afraid of your shadow. You won't go out of your house. That's stewarding. So we do need God to help us with our emotions. And we need wisdom in everything. I'll tell you what we're going to do next week. Now, you know, on Sunday morning, we're going to be doing the next 5 commandments. And I'm already working on those. And when I tell you this is unreal good stuff, if you think yesterday morning was good, you have no idea what's coming for the next 5 commandments. They are amazing. And next Monday night, we are going to go through scriptures about emotional healing, brokenness, and what God says about it. I'm literally going to take scriptures, about 10 scriptures, and go through them. And then at the end of service, we're going to come up and just lay it all
at the cross. And if any of us want prayer, we're going to invite the church on Sunday morning to come next Monday and to receive healing, because we do need it. We do need it. And I thank God for the cross.